Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 218. This is the conclusion, part two, to pray and see. Today is Sunday, October 30th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, you come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, you're going to want to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify the household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. When you get to Pastor Paul's, you're going to see a lot of people, a lot of food. There's food outside that is on the curb. You can help yourself to that. There's bread, usually cases of perishable vegetables. When you get inside, you're going to see Pastor Paul, who's selling food very inexpensively for $1, $2 for a case of vegetables, a case of juice, like that. You're going to see a counter where you're going to register for groceries. So come on over to the counter and just let us know that you are new, and we will get you a form to get you started. You're also going to see all of the food that we give away, lots of perishable foods, lots of frozen foods, free breads, juices. So be prepared to carry a lot of food. Register for Pastor Paul's Club and be sure to ask about the VIP Club. This month is the month of October. Here is the lineup for Pastor Paul's podcast. Don't faint. Works. You got to have faith. Pray and see. Those are the messages for the month of October. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. You're going to want to go to the show notes, which is at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of the scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his messages. Have a great month of October. Minnesota right now is absolutely beautiful. God bless you.
I went to the bank the other day to cash my check. And I thought, well, now, should I stop here and talk to the clerk for 10 minutes about my check? No, you just go get your money, don't you? And then go on with your business, your other business. And that's the way I like to pray. See, if we've made deposits in the bank of our talents, and we've done something, and we've set up a reserve, and we've taken the talents that God gives us every day, and we deposit them and invest them in the kingdom of God bank, we can go draw on, and we don't have to worry about whether it's going to bounce or not. So we don't have to get into a great big lengthy thing. I claim I have money in here according to the conditions of the promise of God. Some agonize for hours. Please cash my check, my promissory note. Please, look, I'm good for it. I'm good for it. Look at the things I did. I'll show you what I did for it, God. You know what I did? Check out my account. No, I just go on up there with a clear conscience, see? Say, God, I'm asking, but I'm not asking amiss. I'm asking for a kingdom work, Lord. I'm not asking, Lord, to give me something so I can give you 10% back. I'm saying, Lord, give me something so I can give it to other. And no greater love hath a man than he would die for a friend. I'm not asking for myself. I ask, Lord, for these people. I think we need to plead the promise, but we need to believe it. And it's only can believe it when you get your check. I know a lot of times people don't believe they're giving them their check. Here's a guy that's goes in the toilet and he comes out with his face all red from laying up against the tissue paper on the side of the wall there. Slept there for an hour and a half every day. Reads in there for another hour and a half. Sneaks out the back door and goes up to McDonald's for another hour. When they give him his check, he feels like, well, here's your check. And he kind of winces a little bit and takes it. And here's the other guy, and he says, this is well done, good and faithful servant. You did a real good job, someone printing for you. You did a great job. Here's your check. Now, this guy can even ask for a raise. This guy with a red cheek can't ask for a raise. Can he? How many hearing this? But also, it was a prayer that overcame difficulties. It starts out with a long word, nevertheless. Three words in one, nevertheless. When certain things happen, we will pray nevertheless. On the contrary, we cry out all the more to our God. Did you hear that? Enemies of the Church of Christ, I'm just going to cry out to the Father. Daddy, Father. What happens when in the world you hear that cry? But not a little sissy cry, something you're really crying out for your dad. That dad is out there. His hair is standing on top of his head. If he has any. Huh? And what happens when we cry out to our Heavenly Father? We yell out so loud our Father will hear us when our big brothers and our sissy uglers are getting after us. Do you ever have a bigger brother? Bigger sister maybe that got after you? Well, spiritually speaking, you have big brothers and sisties, sissy uglers once in a while. Huh? They ever get after you? Well, cry out for Father, just like you do when you're at home. Dad, Mom, look what happened. And they go rush. Did you do that? Did you do that to this little one? Hmm? Did you? I'm just about ready to start screaming out for heavenly help. Loud, not only loud, but clear. Oh, they are mean to me. Sound silly to you? Scriptural. Sanballat sneered, and he made mock of him.
But we prayed nevertheless, but the more because of his sneers.
Then Tobiah got in the act.
But we prayed nevertheless, but all the more because of their mocking taunt.
The sisters and brothers do that to each other? Nee, nee, na, nee, no, no. Do they do that? And when people mock our faith, pray all the more. Pray nonetheless. If they become cruel, if they become violent to you, pray nonetheless, nevertheless. Not a word less, not a syllable less, not a desire less. Yell that spiritual out so loud, God hears. Did you ever try to cover the younger brother or younger sister's mouth? I'm going to tell. Shut up. Shut up. Don't you dare tell. I'll give you something if you don't tell. Huh? Want a sucker? How about two suckers? Then we try to ease our conscience when we're mad at one another and send checks in the mail. How many are hearing this? Don't say anything. My conscience is shouting at me. My conscience inside, and so I better send that brother or that sister I misused a check. Who is that speaking to them while they feel the rumblings of God? Well, I think worldwide, the Church of Christ, all of us should feel the rumblings of God for what's happening in Ethiopia and even in our own country here. Huh? See, when people mock our faith, pray more. Pray more, not less. Pray more, pray loud. But are there any such hindrances in coming to the mercy seat? No, let nothing stop you from entering into the mercy seat. Turn all of those stumbling stones then into stepping stones, the Bible says. And come, it says, with a holy boldness. Now, I don't mean you break open the doors like I've seen some Christians do and walk boldly into the throne rooms of God and just throw your fist on the altars and say, God, according to your word, no way. Holy boldness means is that you walk up and you ask. Would you want your kids to come on with that kind of boldness? You promised me a car. I'm 18. I want it now. Well, I can't give it to you now. You've wrecked the family car 3 or 4 times, and you're not responsible enough, okay? Your bicycle's got a bent wheel. You want me to give you a car? Well, I'm going to hold you to your promise. Well, hold me to it all you want to. I'm not going to give you a car. Now get on that tricycle and get on out of here. Put the seat up on it if it makes you feel better. Raise the handlebars, but get out of here. Now, I'm just talking plain common sense here. Maybe it's too plain and it's too common. But see, I really believe that people do not believe that God is. Or they would not ask in such stupid boldness, such stupid prayers. They wouldn't make them. But nevertheless, we made our prayers to our God. And his prayer meant business. His asking meant business. And he overcame, the Bible says, a lot of difficulties. But notice also that it was a prayer that came before anything else. It doesn't say Nehemiah set watch and then he prayed. No, it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch. One followed the other. Prayer has got to be first in this team race. See, if God isn't first, the Bible says all of our work is in vain. So you got to pray and you got to ask, God, you really want me to be in this thing? Everything must start with a prayer. A person called me the other day. Look, I don't know what's wrong with me. I got this huge bulge. And it's getting bigger all the time. And it's been prayed over several times. And I feel that I should go to the doctor, but I don't know. I said, would you pray? Well, pray first. And then go to the doctor. Yeah, but I won't feel right going to the doctor. Well, how will you feel with that mortician? Will you feel right with him over your body? He's going to be there whether you like it or not. Digger Odell, he'll be there. I guess I'll be shoveling off now. You remember that program? It's before your time, like everything else. Never mind. How many hearing this? No, I said pray and then go to the doctor before that thing blows up. Take a test, but pray first. Person told me, sat right at this piano. And I heard this weird, it sounded like Chinese music coming. And It was nothing. It wasn't even chopsticks. It was some kind of... And his body was... And I looked in through the door there, and I seen this person making all of these... You know what I mean? These movements. Playing this piano, I says... Oh, what music is that? Is that a foreign music? Is it Chinese? No, probably it's Japanese, right? Or is it Polish? Oh, he says, by faith, I'm playing this piano and God is going to show me how to play it. Well, I says, I'm going to pray with you and then you're going to go take lessons because I can't stand that. Oh, I don't know. You know, I get letters all the time. You know, I like your preaching, but you laugh too much. Hey, what else have I got? I haven't got you down here suffering with me. Well, should I take this medicine, Brother Paul? And it's sort of a trap. Do you think a person should take medicine? Do you take medicine? Would you take medicine? Since you were a Christian. Now all these questions just show me that they got a little quiz chart there. They're writing all this down. And I said, lay your pencil down a minute. And or your tape recorder, whatever. And let's pray about this. I pray about it, and then I take an aspirin. The headache doesn't go away. God isn't threatened by Bristol-Myers or, you know, the double powerful, what's a big powerful one they got now, Andril or something like that? knocks the top of your head right off. You don't have to worry about your headache at all. It's gone. But brother, this man slandered me. I mean, so bad I can't even lift my head in public. I mean, it's so bad you wouldn't believe what Christians are doing to me. It's just so slandering. It's terrible. Well, I said, go see the man if you think you ought to, but pray before you go so you don't kill him. Well, he said, I'm going to go ahead and do this thing you say, and I shall pray for a blessing on it afterwards. I'm going to go ahead and pray after. I said, no, you got to pray before. Don't, I said, run backwards. That's dangerous. You can't see the stop signs. You can't see the ditches. Maybe, I said, you're not to enter into this race. Don't begin anything until you pray. Don't invest, I said, in the track shoes and the shorts and the muscle t-shirt with God's told me to do this written on the front and then get benched. And so I said, so begin and continue and end all things in prayer. Pray without ceasing. But I said, especially pray before you begin. Oh, is that right? He says, well, if it's scriptural, I'll go ahead with it. I said, well, I tell you what, I tell you, people don't receive this always. Well, why not? Well, I said, see, some would never pray first at all because they already know. They know that 90% of what they would be doing would be canceled. And so they go ahead and do it, and they pray for a blessing afterwards. And I said, another thing, if they would pray before, 90% of everything they say would be canceled. Travel to the Lord's tomb would be down about 90%. Church attendance would increase about 4,000%. MGM would go broke, running all their R-rateds. The Nielsen ratings, I said, would have a nervous breakdown if people would pray first. And people would be standing in line with bricks to help build a wall if they prayed. Now, you came down, Duane, you came down to the vegetable place and you wanted to get in on the run down here. Why did you come down? Because you wanted to come. Isn't that great? You see, there was a prayer. He was watching, and he watched all the fun everybody else was having, so he decided to come on down. And if we would pray, all the bars would go broke because they wouldn't have Christians in them, about 50% of their business. All the camels would jump off of the camel cigarette packages and head back for the desert. And all the wine sippers would gag. Church hoppers would disappear, people would pray. Do I really belong here? The arms race would cease. There would be no arms. They could use these big rockets for platoon boats, ocean platoon boats. And they could use them big silos to fill it up with grain. And all the weapons, it says in the Bible, would be turned into garden tools. Victory gardens. Shall we pray? You listening, shall we pray then? Will you start everything with a prayer? Should we send some money down to Disciples Ministry Church Mission so they can store all the food they're getting in? Should we pray about it? You listening on the radio, you just pray about it. Should we send money to help feed the poor? Now, it's your decision, not mine. No! We have to be continually, the Bible says, in prayer. And so they were continuing on in prayer here, this Nehemiah group. We made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. It means as they watched, they prayed. They didn't pray this prayer and then go ahead and leave off and go away. It's like kids, and when you're kids, you ever do that when you're kids? Knock on the door, go to the house, go up to someone's house. And then run away and hide? Huh? No, you pray and watch for the door to open. Don't run away and hide. No, we keep on a knocking until the door opens up. And as long as we live, we must pray. Praying always, it says. Some slack off in prayer when they get old. Maybe you're sitting in a nursing home someplace. Maybe you're above some candy store someplace with a jukebox shaking the floorboards. Well, I don't need it as much now, you know, since arthritis set in. I can't do much evil. You can do as much evil sitting up there as you did before. Continue to pray to God to be merciful to be a sinner. God, have mercy upon me. And then some people say about others, boy, do they need prayer. He needs prayer. Yesterday I was at a cafe and this young guy was up there and he's a beautiful kid. He has red hair. And he came up to me and he said, he's about 25. He said, I'm ready for Halloween. And his mother was sitting. She says, you were ready for Halloween the day you were born. Well, you know what? It looked pretty good. I says, no. I says, you look like a Greek. You got this dark hair. It looks kind of good on you. It did look good. The only thing it didn't go with is that red eyebrows. But see, he was looking for somebody to say a nice thing. And then the little girl, she was just a little stinker. She was about like three. I say stinker because what she said stunk. She was about 3 years old. And she said, so-and-so's a dummy. And the mother says, don't you talk that way to your uncle. Well, it's the truth. Well, that may all be so, but don't say it. And I thought, isn't that like a lot of Christians? Maybe so, but just don't say it. Just think it. Think it. And you're sitting up there with arthritis and all that. You can think a lot of things that are evil, too. Oh, I don't need prayer anymore. I can't get out and, you know, raise hell itself. You are hell itself. Start praying. Is that a little bit bold, eh? That's the truth. It is. The moment we think we do not need to pray, that is hell calling us. Boy, do they need prayer, huh? But here we have a homemade prayer. Some people have ready-made prayers. You ever seen the person has ready-made prayers? A book of prayers? A prayer for Monday and Tuesday? Oh, let's see. October the 9th, 1986. What do I pray today? Some churches do that. Everything is programmed. It's all across the United States. They know exactly what everybody's going to be teaching. It's like in the army. We know that everybody on Monday is going to have oatmeal. And it's all, every one of them is going to have lumps in it. Don't churches do that? Don't cathedrals do that? Read the prayer? Now, for real business at the mercy seat, send up a homemade prayer instead of a hostess Twinkie. Homemade, homegrown, gone through the trial, a crying out prayer, nevertheless. A prayer that comes from the heart. Not because we invented it, but one inspired by the Word of God, one put there by the Holy Spirit, anointed, Spirit-filled. One where the words break up, nevertheless. Disconnected, but yet all together. Like speaking in tongues, you run out of words, earthly words, and you speak in other languages. For the Bible says, we know not what we ought to pray, but the Spirit knows, yea, even the deep things of God. And so it says, we made our prayers unto our God, homemade. One with mental notes. One that you thought about. You're thinking, I've got to get together with God and I've got to pray about this and pray about it. I've got to ask God about this and so on like that. One with Holy Spirit power. One with, now in closing. One that will give you a witness in the Holy Ghost. One with a woo. But also notice it was a prayer that went to the home of prayer. We made our prayers unto our God. Some want to pray that perfect prayer out in the streets where everybody can hear it, loud and long. Forget that. You know what God wants? God wants a conversation. He's not going to grade you on word structure, or whether you speak in King's English or not, or whether you flower it up, or whether you... Some even prophesy to God. As the rain comes down on the roof, runs into the rain trough, goes into the rain barrel, flows out into the streams, down in ricklets and rivulets, and down across the fields, and down across the valleys, and running into the creeks, and the creeks into the rivers, and the rivers into the ocean. As that is, God, I pray this prayer! Oh, and they give God poetry. Instead of getting to the point. He's not grading you on voice control. Oh, huh? No. Or gut volume. And so let it be said of our prayers and your prayers. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Now, your prayer isn't going to do any good at all unless it goes on to God. If you're praying for everybody else to hear it and how you say it and how you pronounce the words and how you just, you know. It isn't going to go 2 inches up off the ground. Angels in heaven aren't going to give one holy grunt for a prayer like that. Is it any good if a prayer doesn't get to heaven? Is it any good? No. Or bowing down before a plaster of Paris statue? Or a pitcher? And if when you come out of your prayer closet, you feel like you filled out a form, how much have you benefited? A form of religion denying the power thereof. No, make your prayer unto God a bowing down prayer. Come away knowing that he has replied, but also make sure that this prayer is saturated with faith, not commands and claims and everything. We made our prayer unto God. No, it doesn't say that. It says we made our prayer unto our God. Now we take him as our Father who art in heaven. We made our prayer unto our God. Two little words. And aren't they heavy with meaning, our God? The perfect prayer. How should we pray? How ought we to pray? And the Lord told them. And so the door of prayer, I think, turns on these two hinges. Our God. And I believe if we're to continue building for the kingdom, we must pray. Our first God then is prayer. And I'll close this very quickly. Listen to it. It's the setting of the watch was a work that was appointed. We set a watch. Nehemiah didn't say, hey, a few of you guys, go on down there and guard over things. No, they set a watch. You are going to go down and you are going to watch and you are going to pray. We're going to set you there. Pray the Lord to set a watch when you sleep. Pray the Lord to set a watch when you wake. Pray the Lord to set a watch when you do business. Pray the Lord to set a watch at dinner. You'll be betrayed by evil if you don't set a watch. Also, it's a work very carefully done. Nehemiah says, we set a watch against them day and night because of them. It means actually in the original Greek, meaning over against them, meaning wherever the enemy is, he set a watch. Perhaps the enemy may come this way. Okay, then set a watch. Or perhaps he may come that way. Okay, then set a watch over there on that breach in the wall. Maybe you have a temper. Well, then set a watch. Maybe you have a flirt problem. Then set a watch. Maybe you are morose at home. Set a watch. Maybe you are critical. Then set a watch. Maybe you are prideful. Set a watch. Melancholy. Set a watch. Bratty. Set a watch. Overprotective. Set a watch. Maybe you're fearful, you're listening on the radio. Maybe you're coming into something you don't know how to handle. Set a watch. Set a watch. Wherever the foe is likely to come. Wherever he is, set a watch. Ring around. And so Nehemiah says here, we set a watch against him day and night. What, is someone to sit up day and night? Yes. Do you think the devil advertises when he's going to come to you, when he's going to tempt you? Do you think it's like the movie? Okay, scene two, take, no. Do you that are into boxing and sports, do you go ahead and tell the opponent you're going to do a Statue of Liberty pass or you're going to give the guy a right uppercut? Now get ready. I'm going to give you a right uppercut. Now get ready for it. It's going to come. Well, you'll be telling them that while you're laying on your back. The older you are, and I will speak again to you that are sitting in nursing homes and above the drugstores and wherever you are. The older you are, the more you should set a watch. That's a sure way to fall, is not to set a watch. Watch over the word. Don't water it down. Don't mince words. Don't change the words. Don't compromise the word. Don't look for a way out. Stand, having done all, stand and build a wall. Set a watch. Set a watch for evil that may come against your children. Set a watch. Set a watch against the programs that are going to be coming on the radio and TV. Set a watch. Set a watch against different things that are going to be taught in the schools. Set a watch. Pray and set a watch. Watch for what God has to say to you. And if God gives a special force to a scriptures by the Holy Spirit for you and your heart, that's a lesson for you. And when professing Christians go astray, don't advertise it. So many people call me, have you heard about so-and-so? And you know what reminds me of? Joni James. Have you heard who who's out sinning now? How many have heard that song? Have you heard? Anybody in here? Just one person? Got some old records or something? The old 78s? Have you heard? You on the radio know what I'm talking about. Have you heard who's kissing her now? But have you heard who's out sinning now? Don't give birth to something like that. Abort it. That's one good aborting. If we could abort the words that come out of our mouth, wouldn't that be a good abortion? Reach in there and cut it out and abort it. Bible says, watch and pray that ye come not into temptation. But anyway, let's put these two together now. Close it up. We made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them. Neither one of these two guards are sufficient alone. They got to be together. Prayer alone won't work. Just like prayer and no work won't work. To pray and not to watch is presumption. You pretend to trust in God. You don't trust in God at all. You pretend. Be like when the devil wanted Christ to jump from the pinnacle of the temple. If you pray to be kept, then be watchful. Lord, keep me. Well, then watch. Don't ever think that you can pray and just claim it. And that's like people, they put stuff in their car. God, send ministering, warring angels to watch over this large $400 double dual speaker Magna box. Do you know how much it costs, Lord? $400. And I got it on sale because I prayed and believed and you got it for me. And all, and they go on with a great big long prayer and they put it in their back seat. You do not do that on the north side. It will be gone. You do not do that in Brooklyn Park. It will be gone. You do not do that in Golden Valley. It will be gone. You mean they actually would steal it? You know why people in the suburbs don't miss when people go in their garages and steal? They don't know all what they got. It seems to me I had a 3/4-inch drill. Didn't I? Well, maybe I didn't. They don't miss it because they got so much stuff. That's why they got three or four these big garages to put all their stuff in. I won't get into that thing again. That's the truth, though, isn't it? Down here, we only have one drill for 5 households. Now we miss it because someone comes looking for it. Can I use your drill again? No, so-and-so's got it. That's one way to foil a thief. Pass it around. Keep it moving so they don't know where it's at. Government does that. We do that. Russia does that. United States does. They got submarines. Keep moving them around. They don't know where it's at. Sometimes we don't know where it's at either. Where'd it go? I don't know. But pray. Don't pray to be kept out of temptation and then walk by the bar, alcoholics. Oh, well, you know, I just get a kick out. A guy told me, he says, I just get a kick out of going into the bar and watching these guys. It just brings back these memories. I go in there and I watch them. I say, was I really part of this? I just have to laugh. Nobody in there knows what they're talking about. Yeah, they know what they're talking about. They see you come in and they're whispering. And they're saying, well, he'll have a drink. He keeps coming in here, he's going to have a drink. I did the same thing myself, they said. I kept coming in, checking the folks out. And one day I just found an excuse to have a drink, and here I am. He'll be back in again. Huh? And if you had a special kind of glasses, and you could put them on, you could see spiritual things, you'd see a great big demon standing there. Huh? With a wart-covered body. Huh? Like creature from the deep. Oh, this guy said, I pray the Lord would keep me away from marijuana. I didn't even know what a marijuana plant look like? And I said, boy, the guy sure loves plants. He was up there. And so he's kind of changing, you know. He's got all these plants up there and everything. And I just love plants. And he said, what do they look like? He said, well, God, that was marijuana. He was praying to be kept from smoking marijuana, and he had a victory garden up there for the devil, the windows. No, you got to pray and you got to watch. You got to read the Bible and you have to know the Bible by doing the Bible. You have to get practical. You got to get practical in this thing. But watching without praying is equally futile. Well, a person told me on the phone, I'll close it up here. I'll watch myself. I don't need to pray about it. I prayed about it. Now I just watch myself. I'm over that thing. See, all that self-confidence, I said to the fellow, is evil. It says in the Bible, be careful when you think you stand, lest ye fall. You better pray and you better watch. You listening to this message, it'll do you no good if you're not born again for you to pray, because your prayers aren't even heard. No, you must be born again, and then you pray, and then after that you're born again, you pray and you watch. Well, how am I born again? Well, the Bible says, confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then thou wilt be saved. It's real, real simple. All you do is pray and watch for the coming and the glory of the Lord, and He'll come and He'll save you. But you got to be watching for it. You got to be waiting for it. You have to expect it. Well, how can I have faith for that? God will give you faith. God gives to every man a measure of faith, and you have that measure. God foreknew and put those words in your mouth and in your heart, the words you preach, that if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. If you right now, listening on the radio, want to be saved, you can pray right along with me. You can pray like this, and you say, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Go ahead and pray that. Go ahead. And don't worry about somebody sitting next to you. Now just start to pray that prayer. Dear Lord Jesus. Just say it now. Say it. Dear Lord Jesus. That's right. I am a sinner. We all are sinners. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Say that. Come into my heart. And save me. Now, Lord, baptize and fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, give me a new language. And keep right on now with me. Praise God, I'm saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. And no one can take that away from me. I am saved, 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 eternally saved forever and ever by an act of faith, by an act of prayer. Now, Lord, I watch and I wait and I know you have answered. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion, episode 218. That was part two, Pray and See. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are the scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his message. So be sure to check those out. Still looking for that last-minute Halloween costume? Well, it's not too late to just be you. Wow, that's going to scare everybody. God bless you.
El gato mo, el gato. to move, John. You got to move. Oh, when the Lord get ready, you got to move. You may be high, you may be low, you may be rich, child, you may be poor. But when the Lord get ready, you got to move.